ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Pastor, for this opportunity. While we're seated, I want us to just close our eyes and just raise our hands to God and worship. Just magnify His name. Just give Him praise. Just bless Him. Just worship Him. The very breath that we breathe comes from Him. Let's just honor Him for the opportunity to be alive. The Bible says that only the living shall praise the Lord. For the privilege to be numbered among the living, just lift your voice and just magnify Him. Just appreciate Him. Just bless Him. Father, we give you praise. We magnify your name. Thank you because you've been so gracious to us. Thank you because you are the very air we breathe. In you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We magnify your name, Jesus. And Lord, we ask, Lord, at this time, that you will speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit, I ask that you take charge of this atmosphere. I ask, Lord, that you speak expressly through me, that you cause your wisdom to be available to everyone here in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you distill your insights to everyone as you want them to hear it, to the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that in this service, as we share, that your power will be present to heal, to deliver, to liberate, to inspire, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church? Are you excited to be in church? If you are excited, shout hallelujah. Amen. You know, I tell people, you can't carry a lone face, you know, hard face all week because of the traffic, because of the challenges, and you still come to church and your face is still hard. You know, I mean, it's not a good thing at all. Hallelujah. When we're in God's presence, we should feel relaxed. Bible says that in His presence, there is what? There is fullness of joy. So you can't come and go back and you are still not joyous. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. So it's usually a different experience when we are in church, and we should be conscious of that. And you see, the Bible says that with joy, you shall draw out of the well of salvation. There is so many things that God has provided, made available in church, including our ability to receive insights from Him, including our ability to download blueprints from Him, including the capacity to receive solutions to problems that we encountered in the previous week. All of these things are available in His presence. But you see, it's our attitude and our positioning in God's house that determines what we get out of it. So a lot of time people come to church and they go and like, Pastor did not mention my case. It's not Pastor that needs to mention your case. It's the Holy Ghost that is present that needs to treat your case. But He wanted to, but you were just frowning at Him. Hallelujah. So it's important we understand there is a positioning, there is an attitude. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Surely there will be an end to the service, but the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. So there has to be an expectation. That's where we draw out of God's presence. You know, I feel it's important we understand that, because you see, you will attend multiple services without results if you don't take that posture, if you don't come to that point. Hallelujah. Every enterprise, the desire of God from the very beginning is that every individual that belongs to him, that is a representative of his nature and his likeness, produces an enterprise. The desire of God that every individual that carries his nature and his likeness births an enterprise. Let's just read the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to 28. If you have it, please just project it on the screen. Thank you. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion." Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and you see, this is the divine mandate of God over his people. We are to be fruitful. And you see, when the Bible says being fruitful, it's not just talking about biological fruitfulness. It's not just talking about, you know, procreation. It's talking about all-round fruitfulness. And part of the key aspect of that fruitfulness is being able to birth idea. Birth idea. And you see, we can see this, you know, manifests all through generations. As a matter of fact, when you pay attention to all the creations that God created before he created man, you know, in that Genesis chapter 1, you will realize that among those things that God created, he did not create aeroplane. Or did you see aeroplane listed there? He did not create cars. He did not create microphone. He didn't create chair. We are sitting on it. He did not create chairs. Why? Because what he did was to put in place, was to declare in place all the raw material that man would ever need to create anything that man would ever need in life. And he left the creation, the production, the manufacturing of those things to man. So he blessed man with the capacity to be able to think, conceive idea, conceive solution, fabricate solution to problems and to challenges. And that's why you can see through different generations how people evolve, creating different ideas, and by their ideas, they become men of wealth. By their ideas, they become men that the world had to pay homage to. But you see, the desire of God is that every one of us that are called by his name will become an originator of an enterprise. You see, it's okay to have a job. And I'm going to help us connect it. For the kingdom, there are certain things that God will want to do in his kingdom, particularly in this end time, that until we create capacity, it will not be able to do through us. It's very okay. It's very good to have a job. What's a job? I mean, being involved in an activity that you do every day, that you get, you know, in exchange for that activity, some payment at the end of the month. You know, for some, it could be daily wages. For some, it's, you know, weekly. For some, it's end of. It's okay to be involved in it. But you see, the plan of God is that a job is an intervention in the interim till you discover your enterprise. It's supposed to be an intervention. It's supposed to be an opportunity to keep your body and soul, keep everything going until you hit it, until you eat that thing that God will want you to birth. And of course, the job can also help steer up the, the interest. It can help fan to flame that particular solution that God has put in our heart. Because you see, the truth is that the word of God is true and it does not lie. The Bible says, eyes have not seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come into the heart of anyone the things that God has proposed for those that love him. There is something that God has proposed. There is an endeavor. There is an idea that God has proposed for every one of us. Because you see, when you look through the world, the challenges in the world are so enormous. The issues in the world are so enormous. And God has designed us to be that solution. But you see, if we stay only in the realm of Job, there is little that we can do for the kingdom. And this is what I mean. When you take statistics of monthly pay across different industry, what you arrive at is that the highest paid individuals across all sectors are those that happens to be in the C-level executives, right? Then in certain sector, you have some individuals that come close, maybe in oil and gas. And more recently, we begin to see that in tech, specifically fintech, right? The way, you know, population is divided. Let me just give you a very rough division of the way we look at population when we're trying to do marketing. We divide the entire population into three broad segments. We have those that are the upper part, we call them the high net worth individuals. Then we have the middle class. Then we have the masses. Those that are in the middle class, we subdivided them into upper middle class and lower middle class. Now, you will have an idea of where you belong with your salary by the time I give you an idea of what the salary should be. Now, for those that are in the high net worth individual, you know, high net worth region, they are individuals that earn minimum of 50 million naira per annum and above. So if you're earning your personal income, you know, what comes to you as personal income at the end of the year when you put everything together, it's minimum of 50 million and above, then you belong to the high net worth individuals. The upper middle class, if what you earn per annum is in the region of 15 million and 49.999 million, then you belong to the upper middle class, right? If your annual earning in a year, it's in the region of 2.5 million, between 2.5 million and 14.999 million, then you belong to the lower middle class. Lower middle class, yes. So I can see a lot of people, you know, you sit comfortably in that region. Okay, lower middle class. Then if you're earning below 2.5 million naira per annum, you are part of the masses. Now that's the reality. But you see, one thing I need us to understand is that when God talks about influencers, when God talks about saviors, when God talks about people who dictate the tune of things within an environment, he's not talking about the masses. Because you see, the masses, the best they can do is to protest. The best that masses can do is to carry placards, is to shout, is to scream. They can't make effective changes. But you see, those that influences decisions, those that dictates the direction of policies, those that causes influence, at the high net worth individuals and the upper middle class. And that's why you see, when we now bring this to the reality of the jobs that people are doing in our days, particularly in Nigeria, most of the workers, in fact, those that we hail, that that brother is doing very well, they're in lower middle class. People that we, you know, we see the car they drive, say, he's driving, he's lower middle class. Lower middle class. And unfortunately for most of the people in the lower middle class, let that job stop once, they are in trouble. And that's what we saw when the pandemic hit last year. A lot of jobs that were cut off, people were cut off their livelihood. You see, I had to establish that background to help us appreciate what God is tearing our hearts to in this time. When he's saying that, you know, emergence of new businesses, there is a reason to it. Because he wants to bring us to a realm where we become more valuable to the kingdom. More valuable to the kingdom. As a matter of fact, there is no miracle you want to experience on your job. There is no miracle you want to experience on your job that will make you earn 200% of your salary any month. There is no miracle. Because there is a statutory guide. Even when you outperform everybody, there is a statutory guide. The only people that perhaps could have the chance are those that are into marketing. Maybe you hit, you sealed one major deal, that the bonus is so significant that it's more than your salary for that month. But you see, it's not everyday reality for marketers. But running your enterprise, right? God could open a door for a new opportunity. That what you were earning as annual salary, you make it in a single month. That's why, you see, God wants us to get away from that level where we are so comfortable doing our function. You see, job is about performing specific functions. You know, there is a function, a job function, a job description that has been given, performing it. That's what it's about. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that no matter how good you are, in as much you are on a job, you can be replaced. Please, let this sink. No matter how good, every year you are the best performer in that unit. Every year you are the best staff of the year. There is no matter how you can be replaced. But you see, in your enterprise, you cannot be displaced. Nobody can sack you from your enterprise. God wants us to come to a level where we become more significant than we are currently. You see, Pastor Folake was leading prayers around evangelism. And you see, unfortunately, when we take statistics of the church, I mean, I'm just going to ask, but you don't have to raise your hand. If I'm to ask now that all throughout 2020, how many souls did you win for Christ? So, in other words, what was your impact in the kingdom as far as adding your soul is concerned last year? Negligible. So, if your impact in terms of winning soul last year is negligible, then what was the financial contribution you made to engineer soul winning last year based on your salary? It's also negligible. You see, we try to persuade ourselves that, I'm very up to date with my tithe. I pay my tithe. I do this, I do that. But the question is, it's good. I love the fact that as a believer, we can beat our chest, that we pay tithes, we do all of those things. The question we should ask ourselves is, what can this my tithe do in the kingdom? With the gift that God has given to me, is this the best that God can use me to add to the kingdom? When the Bible says that my kingdom shall through prosperity be spread abroad, is this what is going to take the gospel abroad? Is it this? Is this. You know, we need to be truthful to ourselves. Because you see, the truth is, the Bible says that for the earnest expectation of the creature waits eagerly for the manifestations of the sons of God. The world is waiting for our manifestation, for the revealing of who we are. But there is little we can do. That's why you see that for a lot of believers, the reason why we are not seeing significant evangelical impact in our world is because a lot of believers, the best we can do is to just put things together in our homes. The best we can do is just to be able to, you know, we're able to pay rent, you know, pay school fees, you know, pay this, pay that, and we barely run through that circle. Then before you know, it's another time to, you know, we run through the circle. So there is little, I'm sorry if I'm ruffling some feathers. Please, pardon me. It's pastor that caused it all. I was sitting on my own JJ. So it's important we come to that understanding that there is much more that we can do. And you see, the gateway to this much more is by building an enterprise. There are different stages. I mean, how many of us know what the factors of production are? The factors of production: land, labor, capital. What's the fourth word? The entrepreneur or entrepreneurship, whichever word. But you see, there are four significant factors. Those that study economics, they are laughing at themselves. They forgot to. You know, there are four critical factors that drives the economy of every nation. There are things that, you know, decide on how well the economy moves. And these are four major factors. And there are now extensions to these factors. Anyway, technology is another major component that is an extension, you know, to this factor. But this is what I just want to, you know, quickly hit on. That act of entrepreneurship, it's the bringing together of the other factors. So you can be a labor. As a labor, you are a factor being used by the entrepreneur to create economic value. But as the entrepreneur, you are the one being in charge of creating the value. Do you understand? So you can decide to stay at the level of labor. Whatever you are heading, you are part of labor. Or you move to that point where you are the brain behind the design of this. And you see, there are a lot of times that we think this thing is very complex and very far-fetched. It's not. And that's why, by God's grace, I'm just going to touch on, you know, on that. Starting a business is not something that is far-fetched. It's not something that is. The first thing that we need is a mind shift. The first thing that everyone needs is a mind shift. You know, people will still argue back and forth. Ah, is it everybody that will get a job? Is it everybody that will be an entrepreneur? Some people are destined to, you know, to be employees. It's okay. If you are destined to be employees and your earning aligns with those in high net worth individuals, it's okay. There are guys that did not start Microsoft with Bill Gates, and now they are vice president in Microsoft. But the question is, how many of those kind of people do we have in the world that, based on their salary, they are part of high net worth individuals? How many of such people? Very few. So we need to come to that reality that if I am not sure that I have the call to take microphone and be preaching the way Pastor Ayo is preaching, whose primary assignment is fivefold ministry, if I am sure that that is not my own is in the marketplace, then I must marketplace well. Because the unfortunate thing is that people, through generation, you know, They just walk through the hurt without making impact. Father, from grandfather to father, father to child. And they just, there was a young guy that interned with me. Okay, completed his NYC last year. And wanted to take in the guy. And the guy was like, no, there's a civil service job waiting for him. That he needs to go back and meet his dad. You know, was saying his dad is a civil servant. When his elder brother finished, he joined him in civil service. You know, I was just like, because again, the guy is a Muslim. You know, it's a Muslim. And all through the service year, as much as I tried to point to him, it was kind of distant, you know. I know that because his faith too was part of the reason why he couldn't. But I looked at him, I'm like, this guy has so much potential. So much potential. But all he could see, the best of the vision that he could see, is to join civil service. There is retirement benefits, there is, you know, oh my God. And unfortunately, because of the lockdown too, we weren't seeing often again. So was working remotely to the time that I had to do his clearance for NYC. I look at the way people had been so entrenched in the mindset that, see, the best thing to have is to get a job. And we must have that mind shift that it's not just about job, it's about building an enterprise. It's about building an enterprise. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, for you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to do what? The power to do what? To do what? To get wealth. To get wealth. To get. He's not saying the power to get wage or to get salary. To get wealth. The platform you have to get wealth is your enterprise. The platform that you have to get wealth is your enterprise. Let the beauty of our God be upon us. And let it establish the works of our hands. You have not started living until you really start producing. Until you really start producing from your enterprise. So there are critical things to note about building an enterprise. I'll see the ones that I can touch on, you know, today. There are important things to note about building an enterprise. The first one is you start with what you have. You start with what you have. One of the things that I've also held people back about starting a business is that people often think that, I need some supernatural intervention before I can start a business. I need to have one revelation. I need to have some sort of capability. You know, I need to be able to do something very, very exceptionally. You know, the question I ask people is, particularly those that have been on career path for a long time, right now, where you are in your place of work, the function you are performing, what does your line manager think about you? Say, they really appreciate me. They know my value in that place. They appreciate me. Every year, my manager appreciates me as the best this, as the best that, as the... So if you've mastered the act of being the best in that your space, then what makes you think that your capacity cannot be a seed for your enterprise? What makes you think that thing that you're doing so well cannot be commercialized as an enterprise? But the issue is for fear. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. 2 Kings 4 verse 2. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? But a lot of us respond like this woman. He says, your servant has nothing there at all. You know the story, the wife of the, you know, the prophet that died, you know, and there were a lot of creditors. Don't want to talk about the prophet, but let's just focus. Said, your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. I perceive that the prophets would have, you know, maybe made a face when she said, I don't have nothing. Probably would have, you know, made a face that made the woman rethink that, oh, actually, there is a small jar of oil. Because you see, God is just. Please let that sink into you. God is what? He's just. He will never put you in a situation where there is nothing at all. He is just. The Bible says that he makes his rain to fall on both the righteous and the unrighteous because he's a just God. You know what I tell people? Forget about the background you might come from. Either your parents were poor or you were raised from whatever to whatever. Forget about that background. Say, oh, your background must not put your back to the ground. Yes, forget about it. God is just to everyone. He is just. No matter what the error of your past might have been, God always presents another chance. Please take note, I didn't say a second chance. God is a God of another chance. And at every phase or season of your life, he gives you a provision to start with. He's a God of another chance. For this woman, the story of her life should have ended that the creditors took his sons away and the woman died, you know, as a sorrowful widow. That could have been the end. But you see, there is a provision that they had in their house that was enough. And all the man of God said is that, fantastic, that is all that is required. Now, go and borrow a vessel and borrow not a few. Gather it. And with what you have, start pouring. You see, there are some that are already dangling their feet around, you know, setting up their enterprise. But you don't even recognize that thing that you're doing. Do you realize that there are a number of business tycoons that we celebrate today that started out by trading, buying and selling goods? That was how they started. They did not start with any special skill. It was buying and selling. Buying and selling. Dangote is the typical example. Buying and selling. Buying and selling. As a young guy, he said he would buy sugar in boxes. He would go and buy sugar in boxes and start reselling. When you buy something for 50 naira and you repackage and you are able to sell the items you bought for 50 naira for 100 naira, what you've done is that you've made profit. Let's say that in addition to the 50 naira of your cost, you expended another 10 naira for logistics. That's 60 naira. But you have 40 naira as profit. But there are a number of believers or a number of us that are already involved in one sort of trading or the other, but because we don't put ourselves into it, we think that we're just doing it, you know, for activity's sake. You know, kawama dile. For those that don't understand Yoruba, so that the hand won't be idle. That's the reason they just buy item, you know, just sell. They're just doing it just for doing sake. But you see, beyond that, people build businesses by starting and putting their heart in trading. Another example that a lot of people don't know is Hallen Onyema. How many of you know Hallen Onyema, the chairman of Earpiece? Yes. The way he started was very interesting. The last place he worked as an employee, their office was in Oshodi. And he used to interact with some of those guys. Again, when we act out our virtue as Christians, we get a lot of results. So what he was doing was that he interacts with the drivers, the, you know, the garage boys. He's not the drive past and just, you know, because his office was in no show. He interacts with them, engage with them and all that. And one of those days, one of those guys just mentioned to him that, "Oga, my family has some land, some piece of land to sell somewhere in Abulegba area, Alagbado side. That in case you are interested in buying land, we have a piece of land to sell." At that time, they were selling land for 5,000 naira per plot. That area where you have AIT and Co. in Alagbado. And the man went there, looked at it, and he realized that these guys had over 400 plots of land that belongs to their family to sell there. And he started, he sold the first one, he sold the second, then he asked that, "This thing that is selling for the same price is just helping them to sell." He discussed with them, "What is in this thing for me?" And he said, "See, what we just want for the family is 5,000 naira per plot. Whatever comes on top is yours." And guess what? He said he went to, I think it was Concord newspaper. That's Abiola's newspaper, right? Yeah. He went to Concord newspaper and put adverts there. He was earning salary. So he put together the money, put adverts there for land. And people started reaching out to him. And the land that he got for 5,000 naira, remember that he didn't pay for the land though. He didn't have to pay for the land instead. He just to come and sell. You know, the land that he had for 5,000 naira, he was selling for 15,000 naira, later for 20,000 naira. And it was in that process that he resigned his job. That was how his entrepreneurship journey began. So the question is, what are the opportunities that you have around you that you just toss away? What are those things that you have opportunity to be involved with that you just overlook? You know, for some, it might even be that, oh, there is somebody starting up a business. And the person looks at you that, oh, because maybe you work in this organization, you have a position there. Can I just be using your face? You know, put your profile along my home profile. I'm like, you want to put my profile? You know, and people will come with different sort of, and you miss out in the opportunity to be part of what the tech world called the next unicorn. So, what do you have around you? What skill do you have? What are those things that you can do? You see, there is one of the entrepreneurs that I provide advice to. She owns this business called Grandiose Pub. And guess what? She used to be a manager at KPMG. Yeah, KPMG, the consulting firm. She resigned. She said, oh, that there's this idea, the idea of the common pap. How many of you know pap? Ogi. Akamu. I don't know what it's called in Igbo language, or that pap. The same pap that some people will carry on their head and be hawking. And they sell a wrap for, I don't know how much they sell it, 50 naira, you know, things like that. And you look at the woman selling it, since you've known the woman, she's always carrying that small tray around that area, or she's always using that small kiosk around that. The same thing, this woman repackaged into powdered form. Into powdered form. And today, she has that product distributed all across major cities in Africa, in the UK. By doing that. And now she's designing additional flavors. Different flavors. So there are people that, when they are traveling, you must take, you know, Grandiose Pap with you. I mean, it's interesting that someone could transform that. And all these things came from, not having sufficient nutrients in the regular pap for her baby. And she wanted to experiment to see what could happen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we are still in church. So what are those things that you could do? See, the time is very short, so I'm in point one. There is this young guy well, not a young guy anymore. He should be in his 40s now. Called Jason Njoku. How many of you know Jason Njoku? How many of you know Iroko TV? Yeah, Jason. Yeah. You know Iroko TV? Fantastic. This guy, of course, he spent his, you know, older years in the UK, but because he's a Nigerian and he had the Nigerian community around him, you know, his hands, all of them in the same, you know, the way Nigerians live in the UK, it's communal, you know, community. Once you get into that region, you know that, yeah. So he had those people around him. But what he observed was that every time he was back for break, or schooling, you know, coming back for break, there is always this thing around Nollywood movie. They want to know what's the latest movie, what's this, what's that, you know, and all that. But they could not access it because the TV stations didn't have the license to show those things. So they depend largely on people buying movies, sending movies to them, you know, and all of that. And he realized that this thing is a growing, I mean, each time I come home, there is always this thing. Then he began to think around, how can I help these people access Nollywood movie? And before you knew it, he started a YouTube channel just to start viewing Nollywood movie. He got the license from Nollywood to be showing Nollywood movie. Before you knew it, he ended up building an app that has grossed several millions of dollars. You see, he never had to go to school to go and study how to develop HAP in the first place. All he did was to recognize that there is a gap, that there is a need. You see, I'm saying all of this for us to recognize that where to start from might be as simple as the complaints that you have and the complaints that people around you have. Might be as simple as starting with the complaint you have and the complaint that other people around you have. You know, a story was told about a man, I can't remember his name now, you know. He used to work in the banking sector. And at that time, there was this whole conversation about check printing. Yeah, I remember his name now, but I won't mention his name. You know, this conversation around check printing and, you know, all of these secure documents and all that. And that day, he just spoke to his boss that this thing that CBN has given a regulation around. If you know, you know. You know, this thing that CBN has given a regulation around, you know. Oga, I'm thinking of something. Can we build a business around? He was persuading his boss that I'm so sure that if we come out of this bank and build a business around this within a short while, we are going to be more successful than this. The boss was like, no, what is the meaning of that? You know, all the boss was saying was rising up in the banking ladder. At some day, you know, you become ED, you know, and up. That was all he was saying. But you see, this guy got out, started that business. Of course, the man is a man now. You know, started the business. And within a short while, the business turned over 100 million naira within a very short while. And his personal income from that 100 million was over 50 million. This was someone that his salary at that time was probably in the region of 7 million per annum. He had a personal income of over 50 million within months, just by launching out with idea. Of course, today he owns multiple businesses. Multiple, in fact, he's a secretary to one of the state governments right now. For you to know how solid he is. Start with what you have. He left his banking job because he saw an idea. He saw an opportunity. So how are we seeing things around us? What's our perspective to challenges? What's our thoughts around challenges? How do we respond to them? Until you have that mind shift, that for you to even be more useful in God's kingdom, you need this wealth. for you to make more impact. You know, God forbid that we get to heaven and, you know, we are saved, though. We will get there because we are saved. And you now get there and we now begin to see individuals and you see their crown with the number of stars on their head and the number of souls behind them. And you ask yourself, evangelism, you were not there, you know we so. Sponsoring the gospel, your money was not there. Then you now discover how wretched you were on it. God forbid. And that's why I feel that God is tearing our hearts in this decade of possibility. Because we're in that season that anything is possible. But you see, until you see it, you can't have it. God spoke to Abraham, says, as far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see. I want us to just be on our feet this morning and just pray that God, you open my eyes to see the solutions you want me to offer to my world. I mean, this is just one out of about 10 points. You know, let's just pray that God, you open my eyes. You will open my eyes. You will open my eyes in this season that you've released the word, that new businesses will be birthed. That Lord, I position myself to see, to come to realization of those solutions. I begin to see ideas. I begin to see blueprints. I begin to understand. Cause my eyes of understanding to be enlightened. To come to the reality of solutions that I can bring to problem around me. In the name of Jesus. I wanted to pray this morning. Just pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Bible says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord with which he searches the innermost part of his belly. You see, there are things in your heart that the Holy Spirit will be the one to help you search it out. The Holy Spirit will be the one to turn this lamp on them. He's the one that will open your eyes to them. That you can do this. You can speak with that person. You can connect to that person. You can do this. You can do that. I want to just pray as we believe the Holy Ghost to steer our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Let it all shine. We ask Lord for your breath over us as a people. You will inspire us, you will open our eyes in order for us to see the things you want us to turn into an enterprise, for us to become more relevant, more impactful in the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,